Matt said in his prayer was in the beginning there, the fact that we have this opportunity now, we can take a break from the things. And what are things what are some problems, let's say even this week specifically, that we've gone through? Someone name some things. It's been a great week, right? Terrorist attack in Boston. Everyone should be fully aware right now what happened in Boston. And even though we're far away from there, we all have friends, members of the body of Christ there as well. What else? What are some other things? You know, when Matt said talking about taking a break and kind of rejuvenating ourselves, what are some things we need a break from? The world. Yeah. Isn't it draining so many times when you turn on the news, read the paper, you read some articles? And what do we usually read in those articles or hear in the news? What is it? Yeah, negativity. There's really not too much positive, is there? You don't hear a lot of things that make you just stop and think about the good that people have done. And there was I can't think of his name now, and I didn't write any of this down. There was an actor, and he wrote some comment. It was on CNN. Now I'm going to get it wrong. I knew I should have written it down, but there's more of us who are good than there are in evil is kind of what the point that he was trying to make. And it's true. And we think about our daily lives as Christians and what that means. And the reason I want to look at Colossians chapter 3 tonight and kind of go through this. I did a lesson in Waco this past week on forgiveness. And in Colossians 3, towards the end of that chapter, deals with forgiveness there. But I want to encompass the whole chapter here. So if you look at with me at Colossians chapter 3, and I want to just start at the beginning here and actually go more about, I guess, a little more than halfway through. But if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Jew and Greek, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So let's stop there. Someone give me just a general, brief description of what did we just read here? What is this talking about? What is it describing? New self. And that's exactly right. It gives us that general description, and he mentions some specific things in here as well. But generally, yeah, it's talking about a change in who we are, putting on that new self, being that new person. Isn't this what it means to describe a Christian? You know, we talk about being a Christian. There's so many, and again, there's so many other specifics we could go into with that as well. But, And one of the things I thought it was important to kind of discuss and go over this is that same thing when I opened up and even using what Matt said in his prayer about us, you know, rejuvenating ourselves here. All those problems that we see in the world. Think about your own personal problems. And we think about, you know, when times are tough, and they do get tough. But then have you ever heard or a story read about someone else who went through, you know, something, another tragedy as well? And sometimes our troubles don't seem so bad. But I guess the point I'm trying to make, and I'm getting a little off topic there, is that it seems like there's just so many problems in the world. And where do those come from? Where do those problems start? Sorry, go ahead. Satan, yeah. They start with Satan, and where else? I mean, even within ourselves, right? Is getting along with others easy? I got some yes, and yeah, not always. That's the answer there. It's not always easy. And why is that? Personalities. Yeah, sometimes you know people who just have that personality and they don't want to many times get along with others. And talking about, and later on again, I did a lesson on forgiveness this past Sunday morning, but there was a story, there was an article on CNN, it was on the news as well, about a gentleman who, when he was, I think about 20 years ago or so, his brother was shot and killed by a drug dealer. This was in New York. And the story, the part of it was now the man who had murdered his brother, who was in prison for 20 years for this murder, and the man who lost his brother became close friends that he now even calls him his brother. How easy would that be? Yeah, I mean, I get a lot of heads shaking. But what does that make you think? How does that make you feel? Would you be able to do that same thing? Man. Right. Well, right. And what was his life like before? I thought before I had a discussion in the class, but I may have mentioned it here before, but when he was alive, obviously, what if Osama bin Laden had walked through these doors? And again, I know I'm just speculating here, but he wanted to be forgiven. He wanted to become a Christian. How would we react to him? Well, that was the same when we were discussing Paul at one point. Was Paul, you know, Saul at the time then, persecuted the church? He was a terrorist, so to speak, to the Christians in that day there. And how would we react? You know, this gentleman who I talked about who lost his brother, do you think that was something that was easy for him? But you know what he talked about, and again, specifically, and I failed to bring the article, but how it made him feel. You know, and he talked about God in this, at least on the video as well, and about forgiveness in there. But what do we normally hear about in stories, people? You know, have you ever been cut off on the highway? Did someone not use their turn signal or hit their brakes too hard or something? What happens then? Road rage. People get shot for how you may or may not drive correctly on there. And we're all the best drivers, right? Every single one of us, we believe that we're the best drivers, when really there's only a few of us who can say that? No, and you know, the point being is, you know, we all believe we have that concept in our mind. But getting along with others isn't always easy. And one of the things, you know, when we talk about putting on that new self in Colossians 3, we talk about being a Christian. There's an attitude that we must possess, to be able to have forgiveness and have a positive outlook on life. What is forgiveness? Someone define it. What do you think of a self-definition of forgiveness? Love. Right, and we talked about that in there, Joe. And that's one of the things, too, that I'm hopefully going to touch on tonight as well in our study, is the fact that a lot of times people, and I guess it goes back to the road rage incidents as well, but they hold a grudge right? And there's a problem with that, especially in being a Christian, that we can't just hold a grudge. Obviously, if we're going to have that heart of forgiveness, that person wants to be forgiven. And again, there's some other things we need to discuss here about forgiveness. But yeah, you know, we've got to be careful not holding a grudge. Anyone else? Forgiveness. They know what they do, right?
That's being Christ-like. Like I said, it's easier said than done. But as a Christian, we're not willing to forgive one another, then we're not going to make it.
And that's the problem, isn't it? Because one of the things I mentioned earlier is the fact that it starts with us. You know, and I think sometimes, maybe I'm wrong, but we feel the sense, we feel immunity, so to speak, in being a Christian. That, well, no, you know, it's we kind of pick and choose maybe on whom we want to forgive. But again, just as we looked in here, if we want to be forgiven, how can we? And we're going to look at this parable of the servant here. You know, he asked his master for forgiveness, but what did he himself? He didn't want to forgive others as well. And we're going to look at that briefly. Britt. Well, because, right, and when we ostracize that person, maybe for that sin, what are we doing then? Absolutely. Then is really forgiveness in our hearts in that? You know, and how are we looking upon that person? And, you know, and I've heard myself general comments about someone, oh, they've done this, they've done this, they've done that, you know, can you believe this, can you believe that? It's, What are we after then, I guess, at that point? Are we more concerned? Go ahead.
We feel they need to be punished.
Right. That's it.
In our minds, we get into our minds, they need to be punished. They haven't been punished enough. And we have no idea what's going on.
Right.
We think they should be punished. But we forget, that's not our end of the stick. That's God's end of the stick. He will take care of that. We do not have a right to, as after a person has sought our forgiveness, to be a punitive agent.
Sure. Well, right. And Jerome brought up that very same point, Romans 3:23, I think, the other night too, right? Who of us haven't sinned? Who of us haven't sought forgiveness? You know, and we all make mistakes. We don't seek, hopefully, after making those mistakes. But, okay, here's a good example in kind of what Brett was talking about. And what do we do generally when, you know, someone confesses their sin? How do we react to that? Let's say this evening, you know, someone seeks forgiveness for their sins. They come forward confessing sin, if it be a public nature. What do we do? What happens after services, for instance? We show them love. And why? Why do we do that? Absolutely. That could be any one of us, again, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if we ostracize that person, maybe we don't. And there's, again, different. I could probably list a bunch of different things, but I've heard, you know, maybe they're not sincere. Well, how do we know that? And what's going to happen, do you think, to that brother or sister, if we do that? How's that going to make, how would that make you feel? It's going to discourage you, right? I don't want to put thoughts, but you may have second thoughts. You know, even why did I seek after that? But well, and that's a good point. Paul asked there, if someone, and you're talking about the situation, let's say the family member or that person doesn't want to be forgiven, what's our heart? How should we act or react towards that? Should we still forgive them if they don't want to be forgiven? And that's a good point right there. And I guess looking at it from our standpoint, how would we treat that person then at that point? Right. And Brett said we don't have the authority to hold a grudge. The other aspect, and we had a discussion about this even on Sunday, is what is that going to do? If you're holding that grudge, though, what is that going to do for you? Does that help the situation? Does that make it better? Does that solve that problem, whatever it may be? And, you know, we've all done it. We've all, you know, have maybe held a grudge at one point or another in our lives. How did it make you feel? Oh, I got him. I got her. Because I'm still holding that in here. Jeff, I'm sorry. Right. Right. Right, so they were not forgiven, so to speak, as Brett was saying, for their sins. But I think the important part of that, too, is that attitude, though. And I think, you know, when when we are in that same, or not, obviously, hopefully not those exact same situations, but any situation that we come upon, what is our then attitude towards that wrong that's been done to us? And it's so easy, and you know, it's so easy for us to hold that grudge, to be mad at that person. But again, I'll go back to what does it do for you? And Brother Taylor talked about verse 2 here. And in Matthew 16, verse 23, you know, when Christ there talks, he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And that's the world that we live in today, that it's all about, you know, me. The world's not concerned. Otherwise, we would be filled up. We would have standing room only. We'd probably have to build another auditorium, you know, as well. But we're not concerned so much with others, you know, with God, with helping. Though I'll go back to one of the things they talked about during the terrorist attack in Boston was that how so many people ran, you know, to help others. And you've seen, hopefully you haven't seen it, but there's some very graphic pictures, too, and people helping one another. And it's even in a tragedy, if something so bad, it makes you feel good. Sure. Well, you know, the one definition I had here, and this will go into probably that as well, but hold as though no offense had been given in love and sympathy for, interested in as though nothing had happened. Now, the problem, though, and what Tiffany was talking about here is many times, though, we are human, right? And is it easy for us to forget those things? Is it easy for us to not remember them? What does Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 say there? "For I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." Now, is it as easy for us? Yeah, let me phrase this right. It's easy. As easy for us as it is for God to not remember those sins or iniquities no more? No, it's not, right? Because, again, we are human. We do have certain deficiencies in things. Josh, I think you had a comment. Sure. If you go and rob a bank right before you come in here, or murder someone, and then you seek forgiveness for that and you're forgiven for it. Is that it? You're done? When the police come. So if you tell him, well, you know, I've repented of this, I'm forgiven for it, that you don't have to go to jail, right? You don't have to do anything. No, and Josh, what Josh was saying and going along with Tiffany there, that yes, there are consequences, and that's perfect how you phrase that as well. There's consequences then to, let's say, that sin, that action, whatever it may have been. So if you do commit those things, yes, you can be forgiven for it. Absolutely. But you're going to have to pay the penalty and the price for it. Or Matthew 5 and verse 44. Let's look at that. Christ here says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Also in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. He says, "But I say to you here, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Then he goes on again talking about striking. Yes. And do we do that? Say their name in the prayer. Pray for them. Because isn't there a concern then? Or do we not have a concern for that? Tiffany again, sorry. Sure.
Have that inside you. That's why a lot of people, it's not a healthy lifestyle to hold grudges.
No, and it's not. And I guess, and maybe someone can help me out with this as well, but is forgiveness 100%? Or is it part way? Right. Well, and again, we talked about the fact that unlike God, and Matt said, we don't have that emotional switch. You know, often that we, if I'm taking your word correctly in there, go ahead. Right. Absolutely. I guess what I would ask in that situation is, what is that doing to you, even to yourself, your own relationship in there as well? Brett?
What we got to look at is horrible that we've been sinned against, and that has happened to just about everybody in here in some fashion, some form or fashion. Does the relationship with God change? If God forgives you, you meet the requirements that He has laid forth as an alien sinner or a child of God, a child of God. Does the relationship change with God? Once He forgives you, does that relationship change? Is it different from what it was before you committed that sin? And we are told over and over and over again throughout the New Testament that we are to be Christ-like. That's not just a saying put out there, a mantra that, you know, it'd be good if you get there or not.
Right.
We are to strive for that. We're not perfect at it, sure. But when Christ says you forgive those who sin against you, and if you don't, you won't have forgiveness. It means that.
And that's a good point.
That doesn't mean that. I'm not saying that you have to have that person in your house every day. What have you, that has sinned against you.
Right.
But if you're harboring that ill will towards that person, it doesn't matter how horrific the sin is. If they killed your child, if you're harboring that, and I understand it's I'm not there.
You know, sure.
I may be saying something completely different if the shoe was on the other foot. But going solely by what the Bible says, we have to have a forgiving heart. We have to forgive our brother and sister when they repent. Just like God forgives us, because every sin we commit is a personal sin against God.
Right. And one of the things I was thinking, Romans 12 and verse 21, it talks about don't be overcome with evil. But what? Overcome evil with good. And again, I can't vouch for everyone's personal situation, but how far... I guess what I'll ask what was earlier is forgiveness 50%? Is it partway? Is it, where does it stop? Where does it end? Sure. One of the things I and was just thinking about with this, and kind of along what Brett was saying, was if let's say the roles were reversed in a situation like that, how would I want to be treated? You know, going along with what Tiffany was talking about here, and maybe I might be taking this understanding it the wrong way, but would I want to feel that my forgiveness was not whole or complete? You know, let's say in the eyes of a fellow Christian as well. And Ron, I'll get to you too, and then Jeff. An excellent point. Brother Ron just talked about the process, that it takes time. You're going to be hurt by what someone has done many times. But I guess, too, I look at the fact of if we, and I'm sorry I didn't even get cold, but it was great discussion here. The thing that keeps reoccurring in my mind is how would we want to be? Would we want God, let's use the example here, would we want God to, forgive us of our sin, but then how would we feel, I guess, if it were, and again, maybe misunderstanding this situation. I guess I'll try to spit it out here. I'm almost thinking of that, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but just general, that sin or that thing still being even held, so to speak, over them. Lest you also. Right.
There's not a sin that our brethren have ever committed. If we ever think that we are above it, then we're setting ourselves up for faith. If we think we are above anything, Paul said, consider yourself, lest you're also tempted.
Absolutely. And again, I might touch back on this in the near future here to continue on. I've gotten maybe for the first few points. But, and again, going back to our text in Colossians 3, and I'll kind of end with this. But starting in verse 12 here, it says, Colossians 3 and verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a plague against her, forgiving one another, just as we talked about, as the Lord also forgave you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Sorry, that's all the time we have for this evening. Great discussion. I had something else lined up for next time, but we may jump into this again as well.